Welcome to the Voice of Power broadcast with Gary Atkins, pastor of Willing Vessels Christian Center in King, North Carolina. In a postmodern culture, Pastor Atkins preaches an old-fashioned message under a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, pointing men and women to the truth of Scripture and freedom found in Jesus Christ. Pastor Atkins believes the body of Christ has a voice, and when we declare Jesus is Lord, we have a voice of power. Here's a recent message from the Tabernacle of Willing Vessels Christian Center.
Luke 21, and look with me at verse 25 through 28. Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. And I want us to read it aloud together, so let's do that. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things began to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." Praise God for His Word. You may be seated. Jesus began to explain the last days, the days in which you and I are privileged to live in today. We are privileged to be able to see the Bible play out and be fulfilled. If anything testifies to the fact that this word is true today, it's the fact that Jesus said these things would happen. And they are happening. Now, He's talking about things that will be happening during the time of tribulation. But I want you to keep in mind that we see a foreshadowing here of these signs happening already. And He said, when you see these things begin, not culminate, but when you see them begin to happen, that's when He says, look up. He says, you'll see the sun and moon and the stars. You'll see signs. In the past 10 years, there has been more activity with blood moons and supernovas and asteroids and things happening with the sun and the moon than in the past 50 years. Did you know that? You know why? Because Jesus said it would happen. Hallelujah. Scientists, they call it a coincidence, and they call it the fact that we live by a motion of the sun and moon, but they do not understand that God is the one who placed the sun in that ebony sky to bring light to us. God is the one who hung the stars, and the scripture says that He knows them all by name. Scientists estimate that there is 66 trillion stars just in our galaxy alone. Do you know how much 66 trillion is? And that's just an estimation. There's going to be much more. And God placed them all in their spot. God has them all named. And He knows exactly where they are. Signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And on the earth, dismay among nations. Oh boy, we could go for a long time right there, can't we? Even today, there's dismay among nations. Nation rising against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Jesus said it would happen. In perplexity. You know what perplexity is? Perplexity is problems with no solutions to them. Perplexity is perilous times. Problems without a solution. We are facing that in this country and around the world. Problems with no solutions to them. And roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fainting from fear. Your Bible says their hearts are failing them for fear. And the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I want to concentrate just for a moment on the passage that says their hearts failing them for fear. In the past year, Anxiety, depression, irrational fear, phobia has risen to an astronomical level. You know why? Because of the things that are happening upon the earth. Jesus said it would happen. But here's the good news for you and I. We are not part of this world. We are looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I fully believe that one of these great getting up mornings, John, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And it doesn't stop there. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Everybody shout, caught up. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Which means I don't have to be a victim of fear. My heart doesn't have to fail me. Anxiety doesn't have to overcome my mind and my life. Depression does not have to overshadow me. And it doesn't have to overshadow you either. Because you are part of the blood-bought family of God that is protected and covered by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. This is the second coming. Not the rapture. The second coming. After that 7 years of tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, every eye will see him. Every eye. But before that 7-year period starts, there's going to be a rapture. Everybody shout rapture. Rapture. Now, I used to preach this as opinion, but I'm preaching it as fact today, John. Because I believe it now more than ever before that the body of Christ will be raptured in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We shall hear the trump of God, and we shall escape what shall come upon the earth. I'll get to that in just a moment. I want you to look with me. Verse 28. But when these things began, everybody shout began, to take place, straighten up, square your shoulders like a T-rail, lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing nigh. When you see these things begin to happen, and we've seen them begin to happen, and they're escalating at an alarming rate, the good gospel news is we can look up and watch, because he's coming. You believe it? Shout yes. Yes. Put your finger in Luke 21. Go to Luke 12 with me quickly. Luke 12 and verse 22. On the subject of hearts failing for fear, anxiety, trepidation, depression, oppression. Maybe it's a sickness or disease. Maybe it's a diagnosis that you're not going to make it. Well, I want to encourage you today that as long as your faith is anchored in Christ, even if it's not anchored in Christ, he has your days in his hand. Do you realize that? That he is in complete and total control. But I want to tell you, you're going to maintain a sense of peace and comfort with your faith anchored in Christ during the darkest seasons of your life. Now, Sandra gave you hope this morning. Hope beyond the scope of impossibility, that if there is sickness and disease and malady in your body, in your life, that Christ is still a healer. In fact, he's already done it. In fact, he's already paid the price. In fact, he's already took 39 stripes so that you and I could cling to a covenant of divine healing. And I don't know about you, I don't know why he doesn't always heal, but I've seen him do it enough to know that he can and that he does. And if one would just simply believe that all things are possible to him that believeth. If you believe that, shout amen. Hallelujah. Luke 12, look with me, verse 22. And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, and I say it to you this morning, do not worry about your life. Boy, I could stop right there. We could go home. Do not, he didn't ask you. This is not a suggestion. This is a command from Almighty God. Now, this is going to say, take no thought. That's good King James language. But in the New American Standard Bible I'm reading to you, a better rendering of this is, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food. The body is more than clothing. Yes. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? By worrying about your life and worrying about tomorrow, do you really believe that, somebody told me one time, worrying is like a rocking chair. Gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. Right? And that's why Jesus said, do not do it. But Pastor, it's easier said than done. Let me tell you something. That's why you have to make his word like the frontlets of your eyelids. When worry begins to creep into your heart and anxiety begins to grip your mind and your life, remind yourself what Jesus said in red, and he said it strongly, do not worry about your life. I'm telling you that you are indestructible when you are in the hand of Almighty God. No devil, no sickness, no disease, anxiety, depression, and suicide cannot take you out of this life when you're in the hand of God. Oh, I feel this today. If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. So when we think about Solomon, he was dressed to the nines, man. He looked good. He probably had a golden sash, cufflinks with his initials on them, a belt buckle with his initials on them, right? Alligator shoes. They were probably so fresh they were still snapping, Doug. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I think he invented Rolex. He was looking good. In fact, he would stand at the top of the steps of the temple and golden lions would follow him. Statued beside him on those steps. And Jesus is saying, with all of that, the lilies of the field look better and have more glory than that of King Solomon. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, verse 28, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? Joe and Sandra evidently talked about faith in Sunday school. She talked about faith up here for healing. Doug talked about faith. Hebrews 11 and 1, faith is the substance. You know, a better word for substance is actually assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 3 says, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Hallelujah. It was by the faith that was projected in us that our world is framed when we declare with our mouths that Jesus Christ is in fact Lord. Verse 6 of Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please God, for they that come to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, here's the word, diligently seek him. Now, if you want strong faith, or you can have little faith, that's easy. But if you want strong faith and great faith, I'm telling you, you're going to have to seek him diligently. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he may be heard. For he said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? 10 years ago, if you asked me that, I'd say, sure. America's full of faith. But today, I don't know. Will he find faith when he returns? He asked the question. And he said, look at verse 29. And do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink. And do not, here we go again, keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. Nations of the world, world rulers, seek to survive. Their plan is to survive. Kill the enemy, take care of anything that would stand in the way of their mission or vision, and to survive. A self-seeking desire to survive. That's what nations seek after. That's what worldly people look for. But once again, you and I are not part of this world. We're not out to survive. We're out to live, aren't we? But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give to charity. Make yourselves money belts, which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do I lay up treasures in heaven? How do I cast off anxiety and fear and depression? I'll tell you how. Seek first the kingdom of God. You put God first in your life, every aspect. Being in God's house, financially. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? Seeking first God's kingdom and saying yes to Jesus every day before your feet hit the floor. Why don't you just declare, I am a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service, that I might not be conformed to this world to survive, but that I might be transformed, get this, by the renewing of your mind. You need a renewed mind this morning. Is that right? All right, quickly, Philippians 4. Quickly. And I'm going to bring this to a close in just a moment. I want us to spend some time in the altar today. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. And we know these passages well. I've quoted them to you, preached them to you many times. But there's a couple of things I want to pull out and give you for you to chew on today. All right, Philippians 4, look at verse 4. Excuse me, understanding that the Apostle Paul is sitting in a Roman jail cell. You have to get that. Understand that he is chained. He's probably got a transcriber. He's telling them what to write and to send to the Philippians. He's got sewage running across his legs because that's what the jails were. It was Roman sewers. Rats. Every kind of disgusting thing you could imagine. And listen to what he says in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now, when you think about where he is and what he's doing, that verse means a little more, doesn't it? Amen. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Shout yes. And then he says, be anxious for your children. Be anxious for your finances. Be anxious for your health. Be anxious for your future. Be anxious about your career. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by what? Prayer and supplication. Everybody shout supplication. Prayer is one thing. Communicating with God. Supplication is another. Supplication is crying out to God with all your heart. When you feel anxious, cry out to him. When there's a worry that creeps into your mind, and it will come, you can't control what comes in, but you can control what stays there. Call on the name of the Lord. Cry out in supplication and declare, I'm to be anxious for nothing. Say that. I'm to be anxious for nothing. Your heart does not have to fail for fear. Hallelujah. Listen, I know that fear happens. I know that fear creeps in, but you do not. I'm telling you on the authority of God's word today, you do not have to have a spirit of fear because you have in Christ power, love, and a sound mind. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee and uphold thee with my righteous right hand. Hallelujah. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, here's your prescription for anxiety. You ready? You've tried everything else. Why don't you try this one? You've tried everything the doctor's given you. It works for 5 minutes. Then it doesn't work. Then you need this. Then you need that. Try this. You ready? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any excellence or virtue or anything worth praise, dwell on these things. He tells you what to think about. Verse 9, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You have to practice thinking correctly. I'm a firm believer that your mind can control your brain, not the other way around. Your brain is part of your fallen body. Do you realize that? It's going to fire and think and do things erratically. But your mind, your renewed mind, your soulish man, the spirit man that's been born again through Christ is able to control that mind of yours by thinking about things that are honorable and true and just. If you will practice that, I promise you, you don't have to abide in fear, but you must practice it. How, Pastor? Be in God's house. Every time you stay home, the devil wins. I'm just telling you, and I'm sensitive to the fact that some can't for health reasons and whatever, but I'm telling you, there will come a day, you mark my word, they will take all that away, and you will not be able to watch on Facebook and YouTube and whatever else you're looking at today. And you've situated yourself to not be in God's house, but to rely on that. Don't do it. Be in God's house. Get in God's word. Trust his word. Pray. I don't know how to pray. Just sit there and read his word. He'll help you. Cry out in supplication. Hallelujah. You do not have to. I'm not telling you anything that I haven't practiced myself. They say, well, how do you memorize scripture? I'll tell you how. It's all I had. It's all I had to rely on. That's it. And it works. Every time. Because heaven and earth will pass away. But his word, it's going to stand forever. Stand up with me. Take your Bible quickly. If you've got it, let's go to it. Luke chapter 21, let's go back there, and I want to close this out. Luke 21, and look at verse 34 through 36. Jesus closes out his discourse on the last days. Be on guard. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time so that you will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness, surfeiting dissipation. Drunkenness, the cares of this life, and so that that day comes upon you unaware. Listen to this translation. So that that day, the day of the Lord, will not come on you suddenly like a trap. When the rapture happens, those who are left on this earth, you will be trapped. You will have to wait 7 years or wait till you die if you say yes to Christ. The beast, the son of perdition, there will be a mark. Revelation tells us that no man will eat, buy, or trade unless he takes that mark. Now, if you've ever been hungry before, you do some irrational things when you get hungry. Then you get desperate. I'm not talking about your stomach growling now. I'm talking about day in, day out without food. You'll be trapped. For it will come upon all those who dwell upon the face of the earth. Whether you believe what I'm saying or not, it will come upon you. Whether you believe it in here today or not, it will come upon you. The whole earth, not just America, not just the Middle East, the whole earth. But keep, I love this verse. Dear God, is it all right to shout on Sunday morning? Verse 36, but keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength. I like what King James declares, that you might be accounted worthy to escape. Everybody shout escape. That's why I believe a rapture. I believe we can escape what will come upon the whole earth. And it doesn't have to trap you. But like Noah got in the ark and his family, and God shut the door, and he rose above the judgment that came upon the earth. I believe as John the Revelator in Revelation 4 was called up into heaven, and the Bible says he saw a door. Hallelujah. And he heard the voice like the trump of God. I believe he's going to rapture us, Mike, and then he's going to shut the door himself. Glory to God. And we'll be trapped in the throne room of heaven and not the judgment of this earth. Hallelujah. Escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand. Hallelujah. Oh, to stand before the Son of Man. If you're watching, you're here this morning. The way you can escape today, anxiety, fear about tomorrow, perhaps thinking about your life and what lies ahead, you can escape it today through Jesus Christ. Put your faith in him today. Put your family in his hands today. Put your children, your spouse, your finances. Put that in his hands today. And do not worry about tomorrow. He will help you. He will help you.
Amen. I sure hope you prayed that prayer believing that Jesus has forgiven you of your sin and that he has transformed your life from this moment forward. And I'm so glad that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast. And we pray that it has been a blessing to you. If so, we would encourage you to consider giving a financial donation to help the Voice of Power stay on the air. You can give in three ways. The simplest way to give would be through text message by simply texting a dollar amount to 336-747-3336 and following the instructions. And also you can go to the website at voiceofpower.org and click on the give link, and it will take you step by step on how to give financially to the Voice of Power. And thirdly, you can give by mail, P.O. Box 2439, King, North Carolina, 27021. And once again, we're delighted that you've decided to listen to the Voice of Power broadcast and tune in next week at the same time. And I pray that the words of your mouth, the meditations of your heart would be acceptable in his sight, for he is your strength and your redeemer.